WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President-elect Donald Trump has named his campaign manager, Susie Wiles, as his White House chief of staff. CBS's Robert Costa.
She is seen as someone who is soft-spoken but forceful. She has been through brutal political battles in Florida and nationally. And most importantly to Trump, the president-elect, she is someone he really trusts.
Wiles stands to be the first woman to hold the influential role. President Biden delivers his first remarks to the nation following the election of Donald Trump to a second term. The short speech emphasized a peaceful transfer of power while also calling on the country to find unity.
Something I hope we can do no matter who you voted for is see each other not as adversaries, but as fellow Americans. Bring down the temperature.
The makeup of the 119th Congress is still being determined, but CBS News characterizes the House as leaning Republican. The GOP will take control of the upper chamber, gaining the Senate majority for the first time in 4 years. And CBS's Nicole Killian reports the National Republican Congressional Committee has held a meeting with members.
Things a lean Republican in terms of Republicans poised to potentially retain the majority in the House. But that being said, this was a chance to update members on where things stand with over 200 seats called for Republicans, and the chair of the NRCC, Rich Hudson, telling lawmakers today that he feels pretty confident that they can cross that threshold of 218.
During a speech at an international forum, Russian President Vladimir Putin congratulates President-elect Donald Trump on his victory, and British Prime Minister Keir Starmer says he spoke with Trump by phone yesterday.
I had a very good meeting with President-elect Trump a few weeks ago when we had dinner together in New York, and that was very positive, very constructive, as I think you know. And obviously I had a phone call with him last night, again, very positive, very constructive.
Starmer made his comments at a meeting with European leaders in Budapest, Hungary. The mountain fire in Ventura County, California, has forced thousands to evacuate from their homes. Angela Barrett's home is destroyed and says that her son, who has autism, is not aware that they've lost everything.
We have a good support group, friends and family. So he's there with the friend that we stayed last night with. And we're going to be okay.
CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti in Camarillo.
Dozens of homes have been destroyed. And tonight, thousands of people under a mandatory evacuation worried about what they will return home to. Meanwhile, California's Governor Gavin Newsom has arrived to survey the damage.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Smith says he wanted to be traded. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After 5.5 seasons, linebacker Preston Smith was traded from the Packers to the Steelers. Smith telling reporters in Pittsburgh he requested to be traded after Green Bay changed their defense from a 3-4 to a 4-3.
It's just what I've been playing in the last 9 years of my career. Into this past season, this is what I was comfortable playing in and what I got used to playing in. So, you know, just being back in the system is like, you know, riding that your favorite bike again.
College basketball tonight, the Badgers host the Montana State Bobcats at the Kohl Center. NBA tonight, the Bucks and the Utah Jazz at Fiserv Forum. Chris Middleton, recovering from surgery on both ankles, still not ready to play.
You know, everybody's different. You know, trying to think of someone. LeBron. I saw LeBron's ankle hit the floor, and he kept playing. Everybody's different. And Chris has had a lot of injuries and surgical stuff, so it's just not as fast as we thought it would be, and there's nothing wrong with that.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. According to Yahoo News, Michael Jackson got into a fight with Tupac Shakur when he came to the defense of Khadija Jones, daughter of recently deceased music icon Quincy Jones. Sources say Jackson was present when Tupac, who was dating Khadija, called her the B-word. Jackson, who was like an uncle to Khadija, had words with Tupac, then the two squared off, and supposedly Jackson got the better of him. It's unclear whether or not it was a dance-off. During an interview on Conan O'Brien's podcast, beloved actor Tom Hanks dropped one of George Carlin's seven words you can't say on TV. Hanks used the fifth word in the seven-word sequence, well worth a Google, when referring to a critic who panned his new film Here. Hanks added that the same critic panned his directorial debut years ago, That Thing You Do, and just a few months ago called it a cult classic. Hanks did have a lighthearted tone when he dropped the CS bomb to Conan and said, that's what we signed up for. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the mid-30s. Mostly sunny and a little warmer tomorrow, a high to the mid-50s. Then rain chances return for the weekend, highs near 50. Dry weather returns for Monday and on into Tuesday, with more rain possible into Wednesday. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Civic Media's own Earl Ingram Jr. will join me. We'll talk about what comes next in the Trump administration. Plus, is Donald Trump our retribution or our reckoning? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henry Cutter, dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A Kadigi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are here with our friend Josie and Josie Hoffman, artist, teacher, emerging curator. We are talking about the exhibit that's happening starting tonight. It's a new exhibit featuring at Native American Community Development Institute, All My Relations Arts Gallery. Welcome and thank you for being on again.
Me glitch. Thank you. Buju, Josie and Dijnikaz. Dragon Ashimal, Niruin, Wabazikwe, Nindigo, Ojibwemon, Mayingan and Dorem, Gichionikanging and Dunjaba, Gagapika and Ninda. Hi, I'm Josie, Grand Portage Band. I'm working on a show right now. And so Robert asked me to come on and talk about it.
Right on. Hey, so tell us about your art and tell us the name of the exhibit.
Yeah. Well, I'm a mixed media artist. I do things from painting to drawing, 3D works, beading. I'm also an aerialist and a powwow dancer. I'm currently working with Emerging Curators Institute and All My Relations Gallery. To work on this show that I've been curating called Nimi Win Bijinagigo Ingi Ajegue Ga Nimi Ding.
Wow.
So that translates to everyone dance. I recently returned home from a powwow.
Well, congratulations on being the featured with the Native American Development Institute and being the curator. The opening day is tonight, right? And the gallery's at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Yes, and it opens at the opening reception's from 6 to 8, so.
It's perfect. So people, you have time today to get over there and check it out. You know, what is some of the work that inspired you to do this, and how did you learn to go about making pieces of art?
Well, I've always been encouraged, like, by my mom. She always encouraged me to, like, create and make art. And I always try to surround myself with other artists, and I'm constantly inspired by other artists. So creating and being with creatives is just kind of a part of who I am and what I do. And I'm really excited about the artists that are going to be in the show. We have ceramicists, we have a photographer, we have powwow singers, jingle dressmaker. And these are all just really amazing artists. They're all really talented and really beautiful people, beautiful souls. So I'm really excited to be sharing the talented work that they do. So.
I know there's a miniature, a miniature kind of a display that was at the Wall of Forgotten Natives, and it was really cool. I got to take a look at that. Can you talk just a little bit about that?
Yeah, Courtney Cochran's piece. The original was on Franklin Ave at the Wall of Forgotten Natives, which was said never homeless before 1492. So she has a reproduction of it, a little smaller version that is fitting in the gallery that will be a part of the show. She worked with a lot of community members and community organizations to create the piece, and I'm really honored. And she's one of the artists that also is like part of the audio description too. So, yeah.
Right. And then I noticed too that there were some beautiful jingle dresses. Can you talk about that artist at all?
Yes, that's Adrian Benjamin. She's a really talented jingle dressmaker from Mille Lacs, and she's showing the dream dress. And so she's got four of them, four colors, red, green, blue, and yellow.
Wow. And can you tell us a few more of the artists that are going to be there and what else is going to be in the exhibit? Because, again, I want to let everyone know tonight from 6 to 8 is the grand opening at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis at the All My Relations Art Gallery. And I know I'm going to be running over there right after the show.
Yes. So we've got the Stonebridge Singers, drum from Grand Portage, Minnesota, and we've also got Chanel Gallagher, a ceramicist. We've got Courtney Leonard, who is also a ceramicist and installation artist. And then we have Michael Kurtz, who's a photographer. So these are all nice.
That's very cool. And how did you come up with all these artists? Is this the first thing you've curated?
This is actually the second thing I curated, but this is the first. So my first curation was actually at MIA. I did a curatorial case in the Native Art Department there, where I was just working in the collection. This is my first show where I get to work like more hands-on with the artists. Which has been like a really awesome experience. And these are just artists that I've been following or that I have known in the community, and I've been watching just do really amazing work. And I was like, hey, I would love for you to be a part of this show. And so it's been a really great learning experience and just navigating working with the gallery. I've been working with Angela Two Stars, who's been my mentor. And it's just been a really great experience. And I'm so honored that all these artists are trusting me to share their stories. So,
yeah. So what's the process? Do they propose pieces of art and then you kind of tell them how much room it is, or do you ask for specific art pieces if they're available?
It depends on the show. For this show in particular, I had some ideas in mind. Like I knew I wanted to show Courtney Cochran's work. I knew I wanted to have a drum group in there. I knew I wanted to have a regalia maker in there. And then, for example, like Chanel Gallagher, she's doing really cool work with her tribe and collecting clay and being close to land, and that was part of the show too. So the show talks about dance, and it's about, like, it originates with the idea of dance, but also goes more into, like, the idea of movement and thinking about connections to land and community. So I kind of already had some artists and ideas and art pieces in mind, and so I approached the artists and I was like, would you like to be a part of this? I would be really honored. And they trusted me, so yeah.
Well, that's exciting. Let's give the address one more time, and it's tonight, the opening. And what are the hours of the gallery? You can kind of stop in there and check it out after the opening, whenever the coffee shop's open, right?
Yeah, whenever the coffee shop's open. I forget what time they're usually open, but I believe it's Tuesdays through Saturdays that they're open. But the show itself is on view until January 18th.
Very cool. Well, Josie, thanks so much for coming on, and I'll see you soon. Everyone, get over there between 6 and 8 and meet the artist and meet Josie Hoffman, the curator at All My Relations Art Gallery in Minneapolis. A big peeny giggy for coming on.
Thank you, Robert.
We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Again, that's vaccines.gov. Vaccines.gov.
Get ready for a powerful new exhibition at All My Relations Arts. Starting tonight, experience Nimi Win, which can be translated to Everyone Dance. Nimi Win is curated by Josie Hoffman, a fellow of the Emerging Curators Institute. This dynamic multimedia showcase explores the connection between movement and identity in contemporary indigenous art. It features works from Minnesota artists across various mediums, including ceramics and powwow singing. So celebrate the vibrancy of Native dance and cultural expression at the opening reception of Nimi Win tonight from 6 until 8 at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native-owned J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
We are awake. Hey, we're here with Levi Brown, Minnesota Department of Transportation's Director of Tribal Affairs, and that's a mouthful. Hey, welcome back, Levi.
Thanks.
Yeah, I got a quick question. So is MnDOT currently hiring? And if they are, what are the positions and what counties are is MnDOT looking to fill some jobs?
So MnDOT is statewide, meaning that we have positions all over the, you know, Northwest region, Northeast region, Central Minnesota, Southwest, Metro, Southeast. And I think we have a wide range of positions. I mean, a lot of times people just think it's snowplow driving, maintenance work, mowing, but we have engineers, we have planners, we have GIS specialists, we have attorneys, we have, you know, political scientist majors like me. We have people who work in between governments. I mean, we just, our scope is so broad. And I think, you know, when you're looking at, you know, close to 5,800 employees, you can get the dynamics and the scope of how many different opportunities MnDOT has. I think what's really unique is that we also employ a lot of private industry. You know, we do millions of dollars of road projects all over the state. And, you know, those contractors are looking for tribal, you know, members and employees as well. So it's one of those things where we really do pride ourselves on being a big economic driver in the state.
Yeah, that's exciting. And remind us, especially our maybe younger listeners or our family out there, you know, there's some great benefits to work for the state, as we like to call it when I was young, the state. Can you talk a little bit about that and how really cool it would be to work for MnDOT?
I am, again, just completely, you know, changed a lot of my mindset of the state government, working for the state. I mean, when I was really suspect going into the position, but I would be our top, you know, recruiter, you know, given an opportunity like this where, you know, the health, the insurance, the workplace, the environment. I think one of the things that I've learned, you know, working for MnDOT, how important it is to have a supportive environment, right, of where you work and you feel like you're valued. And I think when you, you know, if you work for MnDOT, you're going to get that. You're going to get that feeling of family. I mean, most people who come and work for MnDOT, you know, they end up staying most of their careers. I mean, when I started with MnDOT, I'll be honest, and my commissioner's probably listening, but or could be, I only planned to come for a couple of years. I mean, I was just like, I just wanted to try something that, because I'd only worked my whole career for Leech Lake, and I wanted to try something different so I had some work experience so I could say I, you know, work somewhere else. And it's going on my seventh year. So Robert, yeah. I hope people are, listeners are there, and if they got questions, reach out to me and or some of the other Indigenous Employee Resource Group members who are big advocates for our work as well.
Well, as you can see, really Haley runs this show. So I want to be careful about this next question is like, how can people find out about current career openings in the Minnesota Department of Transportation other than Haley? Oh, wow.
So the best way, Robert, is to if you got your phone in front of you, computer, laptop, iPad, whatever, just Google Minnesota State Jobs and then look up MnDOT, Department of Transportation. And then there you can select the region you want to work in. You could select the type of area you might want to work in, depending on where your expertise is. And you can just monitor those positions. You can look at where we have openings, or you can just Google Levi Brown MnDOT, and my contact info is there. Maybe we can share it on your Facebook, wherever it is, and people can just reach out to me. I can help guide. I mean, as you can tell, Robert, I'm pretty sociable. I have no problem just talking to people, and I think, you know, I just want to try to help people, you know, take advantage of an opportunity to be part of that change we're talking about.
Yeah, that's awesome, Levi. You know, and that's a good relative to be helping people. And also, you know, communication is huge for us. And, you know, I'm really excited to hear about these things. And I, you know, I'm 63 years old, so I wish I would have heard about these when I was young and had a career and retired by the time I was 55 and, you know, hanging out, you know, at the lake house. Oh, wow.
Well, you ever get up to Leech Lake and Cass Lake there, Robert, you let me know, because you don't have to be 55 to come have a good time up there, relax, and you know, take in all the activities up there.
Yeah, let's switch gears just for a second, because really, you do have the best wild rice. I do have to say that, because at Native Roots Radio, we have a Native Roots Trading Post at the State Fair and at Shakopee Poway Bluff, and we sell that, and people love it.
So just so you know, I have to build relationships with all 11 tribes. I will be, they at least know where my heart is and they know what I'll say where I do rice. But yeah, I agree, Robert. I'm not going to hold back.
Heck, you know, we got to have you on the show more often, and then Haley and I will get up there when it's ricing season and get in that canoe with you.
Well, just for FYI, so I also serve on the Natural Resource Advisory Committee for Leech Lake, and we have our first ricing committee meeting tonight. So once I get off of this interview, I'm actually going to go over and get on that call, and we'll be setting our hunting and fishing dates for Leech Lake, and then also start talking about our rice beds and which ones will be there. So we're only a couple weeks away, Robert.
Wow, that's cool. You know, Ho-Chunk coming up there to Leech Lake, that's very cool. Sounds very cool.
Well, and, you know, one thing about Leech Lake is, you know, they have exclusive jurisdiction over wild rice. So whether you're a tribal member or a non-tribal member, everybody's got to go to the Division of Resource Management for Leech Lake to get a permit. And I think one of the things that I feel fortunate about is just about how blessed that Monomin is. That's an abundance that's up there, and you know, you can feed yourself with one handful each day.
Wow, really good. And remind our listeners, because we have listeners all over the state and state of Wisconsin, talk about the Ojibwe legend of finding food floating on ground.
So our ancestors were on the east coast, and you know that our legends talk about these seven places along the journey along the Great Lakes, but then we'll reach a place where the food grows on water. And if you ever see a wild rice, you know, see rice or rice bed, you know, it's something to really be something beautiful, something that where you're sitting there and you want to heal yourself and feel good, knowing that that's there and the creator's put that for you there to eat, feed yourself and you know, heal your body and your spirit. Just go look at a rice bed, especially coming up in the next few weeks, because it just the wind blows a little bit and it just waves at you. Those rice heads are just there. It's a wonderful sight, especially when you see ricey poles go through it and you see Nijis out there, you know, friends out there, and people are other human beings out there gathering it.
Well, we're with Levi Brown, Minnesota Department of Transportation's Director of Indian Affairs. Before I forget, that's how to get a hold of you and what the website is, so our listeners out there that were driving and now pulling over with their pens can write this down, because they might be like me, where I have a good memory, but it's short. Ooh.
So the best way to do it is just tribesintransportation.com. It'll bring you right to our, you know, Office of Tribal Affairs for MnDOT. We kind of coined that Tribes and Transportation because we're kind of early in the game. At the same time, you can find my cell phone and my contact number online in that same website, and I can help guide you to any employment opportunities or questions you might have, or just in general what MnDOT does. And, you know, I hope this, everybody listening is, I hope my phone blows up a little bit. Let's put it that way. I get some phone calls of people interested.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, I want to get my young Chujunk here on in the last couple minutes. Haley, who's a Gen Zer, do you have any questions? Because this is amazing for an old person like me to hear that MnDOT has a liaison, a tribal liaison, and reaching out specifically to the Native community. That just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's really important that we kind of go back and redevelop these relationships with state officials and state government offices. I remember we had Wobbin on last year from MnDOT, who gave a really great interview, and I was just so surprised at the many different job positions that are available. Can you repeat some of those?
So we're more than just snow plows and maintenance and plowing. You know, we're bridge inspectors, we're, you know, GIS specialists, you know, Office of Land Management, surveying engineer, you know, engineers for whether it's, you know, civil engineering or we also have a need for computer specialists, you know, our office minute who takes care of our technology. We have attorneys, position for attorneys, mapping specialists. And we actually have an office for kind of which I think is I'm very proud of, but our office that works with civil rights and, you know, looking after our veterans and other groups to make sure that, you know, our contracts and how we do our business and work. I think those are all unique opportunities that, you know, pretty fortunate to have that under one umbrella.
Wow, good question, Haley. Wow, we're really fortunate to really amplify this this message out there, because again, this is like really a beautiful thing that the state's doing, and I feel really good about amplifying your message, Levi.
And again, I think, you know, what's really unique is where I'm at right now. I'm up in Grand Portage.
This is 93.5 The Tap. CBS News Brief. President-elect Donald Trump's transition is underway with the naming of his campaign manager, Susie Wiles, as his chief of staff, the first woman to hold that position. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi.
She's very well-liked within the movement. She's very well-liked by his base. She's quiet. She's methodical. She's a very hard worker.
President Biden says the American people will benefit short-term and in the years ahead from legislation passed during his administration. In his first comment since President-elect Trump's victory, Biden also promises a peaceful transition.
I know it's a difficult time. You're hurting. I hear you and I see you. But don't forget. Don't forget all that we accomplished.
More than 20,000 acres have been charred by a wildfire in Ventura County, California. Thousands have been forced to evacuate. Sheriff Jim Freyhoff.
The fire danger remains extremely high. This is still a very active fire and very unpredictable.
And 0% contained. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Smith says he wanted to be traded. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After 5.5 seasons, linebacker Preston Smith was traded from the Packers to the Steelers. Smith telling reporters in Pittsburgh he requested to be traded after Green Bay changed their defense from a 3-4 to a 4-3.
It's just what I've been playing in the last 9 years of my career. Into this past season is what I was comfortable playing in and what I got used to playing in. So, you know, just being back in the system is like, you know, riding that your favorite bike again.
College basketball tonight, the Badgers host the Montana State Bobcats at the Kohl Center. NBA tonight, the Bucks and the Utah Jazz at Fiserv Forum. Chris Middleton, recovering from surgery on both ankles, still not ready to play.
You know, everybody's different. You know, trying to think of someone. LeBron. I saw LeBron's ankle hit the floor, and he kept playing. Well, everybody's different. And Chris has had a lot of injuries and surgical stuff, so it's just not as fast as we thought it would be, and there's nothing wrong with that.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After signing a multi-picture deal with Lionsgate, Taylor Sheridan is turning out TV shows at an alarming rate, such as Tulsa King, Yellowstone, The Mayor of Kingstown, 1883, 1923, and Lioness. Lioness in particular just became the fourth biggest premiere on Paramount+. The show found its way into 3 million homes in the first 7 days of its release a couple weeks ago. The show stars Zoe Saldana, Nicole Kidman, Morgan Freeman, and Michael Kelly, and is supposedly based on the CIA's actual Lioness program. If you like high-powered weaponry, military jargon, and lots of gunfire, this is the show for you. Warner Brothers Discovery is reporting that its streaming or direct-to-consumer service is booming as its theatrical business declines. The studio says it's gained over 7 million subscribers in the third quarter alone for this year, according to Screen Daily. This is the biggest gain ever for subscribers that has been reported since the launch of Max in 2020. Everyone is chasing Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the mid-30s. Mostly sunny and a little warmer tomorrow, a high to the mid-50s. Then rain chances return for the weekend, highs near 50. Dry weather returns for Monday and on into Tuesday, with more rain possible into Wednesday. It's 42 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The right-wing nut pastor named Joel Webbin.
What God's word says is be quiet.
I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed.
Hashtag me too. All you have to do is publicly execute a few women who have lied.
What? Let's dissuade women from reporting rapes by putting them to death.
Only a few women. Preferably the really loud ones.
With hey, makeup. Do I rate?
You absolutely... I was going to get there.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild guest hosts the Maggie Dawn Show, and he'll be joined by Terry Barr for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, Haley, we have an awesome guest on today, Mary Mazzio, and we're going to be talking about the Bad River film documentary. And Mary, thank you so much. You directed and wrote this documentary, and it's just a beautiful piece of art and work, and what a great message. Thank you so, so much for coming on to Native Roots Radio.
Oh, listen, it's my pleasure, and I'm humbled to be here with you, Robert. Thank you so much.
Well, Haley and I watched it, not together, but we definitely watched it, and Haley's got some great notes on this, and I know, you know, Haley, your favorite part was the last 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and it was emotional. Haley, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, so we can give a little preview of what the film that we're talking about. This is the Bad River film documentary narrated by Quanah Chasing Horse and Academy Award nominee Edward Norton, written and directed by award-winning filmmaker who we're joined with right now, Mary Mazzio. Bad River is a documentary film which chronicles the Wisconsin-based Bad River Band and its ongoing fight for sovereignty. This is a story which unfolds in a groundbreaking way through a series of shocking revelations, devastating losses, and a powerful legacy of defiance and resilience, which includes kind of that David versus Goliath, to quote, kind of battle to save Lake Superior. So this is a really great documentary, very educational, and everyone, you know, needs to see it. Mary, where can people find this documentary right now?
So right now, if you're an Xfinity member, we're streaming on Xfinity. We will be debuting this fall on Peacock. So it will have a very wide release this fall. In the meanwhile, special events are happening. If any of your listeners are interested, badriverfilm.com/dates. We've got upcoming events where you can stream it. And so lots of events and activities are happening around the film. We're actually, thank you for that question, Haley. We're actually just out of theaters, and the film lasted amazingly almost 2 months in 25 major markets, which is like a huge feat for an indie documentary. So we're really excited about the reception that the film has had and the impact that the project is having kind of in real time.
Yeah, I know it showed up here in Minneapolis, and there was a big buzz, and people were asking me if we watched it, if we saw it. I'd run into people, and that's exciting. You know, we have our Enbridge story here in Minnesota, and so we can relate. One of the really, really awesome things about this documentary for me was that you really put a lot of the Native story surrounded by this pipeline action.
Thank you. And honestly, that I can take no credit for that, quite honestly. When we began interviewing Bad River elders, it was really extraordinary because they said, oh yeah, we'll talk about this current pipeline challenge that we're facing with a pipeline that's now at risk of rupture that cuts through the heart of our reservation. But did you hear about the fight we had a few years ago over the mountaintop removal mining project in the Pinokies? And then it was like, well, did you hear about the trainloads of sulfuric acid that were going to come across rickety train tracks? And did you hear about this? And did you hear about that? And all of these stories of resistance came really tumbling out. And so the film meandered, just like the Bad River is meandering. And the film really went from, you know, a story about the pipeline crisis to one that became just this historical retrospective of defiance and resilience. And I'll tell you, Robert, I started getting chills when some of the elders were recounting these stories, because it was so exciting to understand in real time the history of resilience.
Yeah, and resistance. You know, American Indian movement started here in Minnesota, and I know you had a really nice piece about that in the starting and how the resistance and resilience of our relatives here in the Twin Cities, which we have the largest Native American population in the country. And so the movie was here for a week, and there was nothing but raves here, and I can't wait to see it again on Peacock.
And it was actually, Robert, it lasted more than a week in Minnesota. I think we were there for almost 6 weeks because AMC Cinemas, like, they called us up and they said, guess what? We're extending. Guess what? We're extending again. So, you know, to have that sort of receptivity for a film like this has just been, you know, humbling in so many ways. And by the way, you know, credit where credit is due, I had an extraordinary team that included Allison Abner. Allison is a writer. She was a writer for Narcos and West Wing. And she hails from the Stockbridge Muncie Band. So she had this amazing and acute awareness and understanding of Native history generally. But she was so thoughtful and disciplined from a storytelling standpoint.
Well, when it comes to storytelling, too, I never heard this, but it really put a big smile on my face. And a lot of it has to do with Native American interpretation, but also our sense of humor. When things would happen, the quote was, when things would happen, an eagle would land on the moon. And finish that story. That was amazing.
That was outrageous. So I think it was Edith Leoso that was recounting to me, you know, she was talking about the birth of the American Indian movement, of course, AIM, and other groups that began to really lead the way in terms of what does it mean to have tribal sovereignty? And what do you mean you're not going to honor our treaties? And what does this mean about the land that we're legally entitled to? And so she recounted this story, this prophecy that a great day will come for Native peoples when the eagle lands on the moon. And she said, and of course we all knew the eagle is never going to land on the moon. Well, guess what happens, right? With Apollo 11, I think it was Apollo 11.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course you have the classic, you know, crackle, crackle of the mic and, you know, the eagle has landed.
Yeah. And then they took notice to that and really got busy.
And they got busy. That's exactly right. And you had this unleashing of activism and awareness, which was really, really exciting.
Well, and
And
back up just a little bit, too, about our history. And, you know, history has not been the history books have not been good to Native Americans in films. But, you know, just to back up with it, you put all this history compacted in a beautiful way, told in a beautiful way about boarding schools, about, you know, the BIA and about the struggles that we've had as Native Americans being the first people here.
And, you know, again, that was really driven by Bad River elders and the stories that they wanted to tell. And I think, you know, certainly as a non-Native, bearing witness to these stories for me was so eye-opening, particularly from a value standpoint. And when you step back, you know, the Bad River people, time and time again, like Native people everywhere, history has been written in such a way where it is, you know, the cowboy that prevailed, right? The founding of the West. And in fact, you know, how history has been written has been woefully misinformed. And I don't know how history could have or has been taught without the history of Native peoples. And so I think the film has been so illuminating, especially for non-Native students, We do know of many, many school districts that are busing their children into theaters to see Bad River on the big screen. And, you know, as a filmmaker, that is so exciting because it means a new generation of young people can have better awareness and be much more fully educated about the issues that affect Native peoples in this country that are ongoing, as you well know.
Well, and one of the issues, too, is that we are dual citizens. I mean, a lot of people, not that many people are on the reservation. Like, for instance, Red Lake, half of their 17,000 tribal members live in the Twin Cities and the other half live on reservation. So we're not these reservation people. And we're proud of both. Being a dual citizens. We're proud of both of our countries that we're in.
I think that's exactly right. And certainly as it relates to Bad River, I mean, again, if you step back, you look at this really small group of people, and with monumental effort, they are fighting to protect Lake Superior, which of course is one of the world's most precious resources. But you see these fights playing out everywhere across America, led by Native citizens. And what struck me, especially as a non-Native, was this idea, and it's something that the Bad River former chairman Mike Wiggins said to me just a few weeks ago. He said, look, this fight, we're not fighting to protect Lake Superior just for us, but we're protecting Lake Superior for the country with increasing, you know, weather unpredictability. Extreme weather, there is going to be a dire necessity for more of the country to draw on Lake Superior for fresh drinking water. And he said, we're fighting at huge personal cost this pipeline that is at risk of rupture, and we're doing it because it's our patriotic duty.
Mm.
And that just struck me like a ton of bricks. And I thought to myself, you know, just that value system, we are doing this for all of us, is so antithetical to so many of us that are, you know, rugged individualists or pull yourself up by the bootstraps and I need my package yesterday. And right, like if we could as a country be more thoughtful of community in the way the Bad River people and other Native peoples are, boy, we would be making America great again.
Yeah, perfect. Hey, we are here with Mary Mazzio, the director of an award filmmaker, and we're talking about Bad River, but we're talking about a lot of things that have to do with this documentary, this great documentary, and we're going to, you know, talk a little more. We're so, so excited to have you on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
The Minneapolis Institute of Art is featuring the art and legacy of Jody Falwell, a groundbreaking potter from Capa Owinga, New Mexico. Over the past 50 years, Falwell has revolutionized Pueblo pottery and Native art by weaving in personal, political, and social stories into her pieces. Her exhibition titled Opawa Omung shows the incredible range of her work and the impact she's had on both Native and contemporary American art. You can check it out at MIA through January. For more info, visit artsmia.org.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Again, that's vaccines.gov. Vaccines.gov.
Thanksgiving is fast approaching, and if you want the best turkey on your table, now is the time to act. Reserve a fresh, never-frozen turkey from Ferndale Market. That's where the Peterson family has been raising free-range, antibiotic-free turkeys since 1939. Each year, they raise a special flock just for Thanksgiving, delivering pure, flavorful turkeys with no fillers or basting solutions, just 100% natural and delicious. Taste the difference of a fresh, never-frozen turkey from Ferndale Market, guaranteed to be the highlight of your holiday meal.
Pick yours up at Ferndale's on-farm market in Cannon Falls, which is a beautiful drive from the Twin Cities and features lots of fall colors. Or if you prefer to stay closer to home, find Ferndale Market Thanksgiving turkeys at a natural food store near you. Visit ferndalemarket.com to reserve your Thanksgiving turkey today and locate a retail partner near you. Make this Thanksgiving unforgettable with a farm-fresh turkey from Ferndale Market.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh! Wow, we are kicking butt here on Native Roots Radio. We have Mary Mazzio, a director and writer of the documentary Bad River, and we are just touching the surface here of this great documentary that can be seen soon on Peacock and in November 1st. Welcome back, Mary, and I want to kind of direct this question about the crust of the documentary, and then talk about the importance about, you know, addressing this Enbridge thing and their pipeline struggle with Line 5. We've had it here, and the Bad River Reservation in northern Wisconsin is really being attacked by a foreign company with lots of money.
Yes, and I think, you know, the challenge is that Line 5 cuts through the heart of the reservation, directly bisects the Bad River Band's land. And it is today, as the lower court, federal court Judge Connolly found, at imminent risk of rupture. That is terrifying because it means in a matter of hours, if there is a rupture, there is a catastrophe for Lake Superior. And I think, notwithstanding the many talking points that one often hears about this story, there are two really important facts. One is that a series of rights that Enbridge had to operate this pipeline across the reservation over about 3 miles expired 10 years ago. In other words, they no longer have the legal right to operate the pipeline. I think that's really important to know, in addition to the pipeline today being at profound risk of rupture. The second point, and this often gets lost, this is not a story about oil or about how many consumers and Canadian consumers are dependent upon this oil. This is a pipeline that moves oil from Western Canada to Eastern Canada. How it came to dip down into the United States when it was constructed in the 50s is really fascinating. But long story short, it was cheaper and easier to construct the pipeline through the United States than directly west to east in Canada. So in any event, you know, the Bad River Band has not benefited in any material way from the existence of this pipeline. The first 40 years were effectively free to the company to operate. But at the end of the day, I mean, we as a country, we're net exporters of oil. This has nothing to do about, really, this is not a story about oil at all. Mm-hmm. There are many, many ways to transport oil. And this is a story about a piece of aging infrastructure operating really in a place where it never belonged in the first place and where it no longer has the legal right to operate.
Wow, absolutely. And, you know, we talk about, especially when we were fighting Dakota Access Pipeline and Line 3 here in Minnesota and the Dakotas, we talk about the Kalamazoo rupture that, you know, pipelines leak, period. That's all we know. And sometimes we don't hear about them, and sometimes it's catastrophic.
Well, and I think that's a really interesting point that you bring up. I mean, Kalamazoo and the epic disaster, it was line 6A and 6B that were Enbridge lines that that ruptured. I think it was the costliest inland oil spill in the history of America. And that, of course, was not very far away from the Bad River Band. And so the Bad River Band hears about Kalamazoo, and all of a sudden there's a conversation. Well, wait a minute. aren't we sitting on Enbridge lines? Isn't that who's right? But, you know, aren't those lines right beneath our feet? Mm-hmm. And Enbridge, of course, their rights expired only two years after Kalamazoo. So Kalamazoo was fresh in the minds of the tribal council. And as elders recall and former tribal council members recall, they started asking the company very difficult questions. How old are these lines? Right? Today, the line is 70 years old, 71 years old. How safe is it? What's your data? You keep coming onto the reservation to do what you call anomaly digs. What's an anomaly? Why are you doing these digs? What are you doing when you do these digs? And as elders recall, there was a lack of transparency from the company in terms of what was truly happening, which led them to this confrontation in the first place, where they said, you know, you're asking us for a right to extend your operations here on the reservation, and we are not going to agree to that. And that was the opening salvo to this battle.
Yeah, wow. You know, I have to say something too about this documentary, watching this. This is like one of the most beautifully shot and edited documentaries I've ever seen, even if it wasn't about what it's about with the content. I was just amazed by the beauty of the shots that you and your editor chose to take, along with the talking heads, of course. But there's some beautiful shots there, and some vintage footage of like an Enbridge commercial. And it's an amazing visual documentary too. I just got to say that.
Oh, thank you for that. And you know, many people don't really realize sort of what goes into the making of these, but from a production standpoint, as you can imagine, given the remoteness of the area, right, it took a lot of people, you know, you got to house and feed them. And right, so we had a small, you know, village of people working on this, including, by the way, a number of Bad River members themselves. And we had, we shot on the Alexa, which is a sort of, you know, major Hollywood films are shot on the Alexa. We had drones, we had 4K drones. We lost one into the Bad River, which was, I think Chaz Connors tried to come to the rescue with a whole team of people, you know, diving into the Bad River looking for that missing drone. But we, you know, sort of my going in attitude is, you have these extraordinary people fighting for something that is much bigger than all of us. And the visual story should reflect that sort of heroic and valiant effort.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Haley, we only got a couple minutes left here. I know you watched it too. What is your feeling, and do you have any questions for Mary before we end this great segment?
Yeah, I mean, the whole documentary was just an amazing piece of work, and including the visual shots, but also the soundtrack and the opening scene with the drum, and it just really draws you in right away. And I really appreciated the fact that you touched on a lot of subjects, like kind of how Allotment Act and how forced assimilation to larger cities kind of, you know, led to higher rates of substance abuse and the opioid epidemic, and also touched on crime and police brutality. So, I mean, all in all, the whole documentary is just, everyone needs to see this. So again, can we shout out kind of the platforms and where people can see this Bad River documentary?
Yes. So as I mentioned, we're just out of theaters, but people can view the film if your listeners go to badriverfilm.com/dates. Backslash, then we've got all kinds of events happening around the country. We have where you can personally stream it. The film will launch publicly onto a larger platform beginning on November 1st with Peacock, and our friends at Comcast, NBC Universal have been really extraordinary in terms of their support of the project. And so, we would be thrilled for your listeners to see the film. And then if they're so moved to take action, we do have a take action button as well on our website, and ways you might consider donating to support the Bad River Band.
Wow, perfect. Mary Mazzio, Bad River documentary. Thank you so, so much for being on Native Roots Radio. We got to do this again real soon.
Robert and Haley, thank you.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will be recombobulating yet again with Dan Schaefer. Lots of stuff to process yet. I hope you will join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.